You were talking about your discipleship journey and how you'd been discipled. People want to be discipled. People want to be led. I get asked all the time about, hey, I'm there's this missing piece. The missing piece is his relationship.
When man had an issue of sin, God did not send a process. He didn't send a picture. He sent a person.
Yep. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Man, it is so good to be with you all today. I know I have been gone. My name is Antonio.
Back with us all today.
Back with you all.
I'm Pastor Dan.
And man, we are just so glad. We are excited about today's conversation. We are going to be delving into good topics, I think.
Good stuff.
I mean, good stuff.
Always
as
good.
We talk about really rooting ourselves in our faith and not just living a surface level faith. So we want you to stay tuned all the way through. And hey, I want to invite you guys to like, comment, subscribe, share this episode. As we know and we feel that this conversation will benefit not just you, but those that you share it with again.
Amen. Hey,
how you doing, Pastor?
Where have you been?
So I took a trip. We all know and love our dear friend, Pastor Joseph.
Pastor Joe, PJ Primetime.
Yeah, has moved to the Denver metro area.
He's
town
in a place called
Castle Rock.
Castle Rock, yeah.
And
I told him he needs Castle Rock Church.
Yeah, you know, and so there is a rock church in the area.
Yeah, that's why he's got to be Castle Rock Church. You know, you can't be.
We got to see Castle Rock.
Yeah.
You know, the town.
Did you hike up to it?
No. There was this other area that you can kind of take these steps up to. We saw it from afar. We waved at it. But it's really cool because it looks, I could see where it's like what you would imagine a cornerstone or a rock that you would be built. You know,
okay,
like castle.
Gotcha. Castle Rock.
And it was beautiful. It was we brought in, I think, Southern California weather. So while
nice.
We were there, it was 70 degrees.
Man.
And then on the day we were coming home, it started on the way to the airport pouring. Then when we're getting ready to go actually out to the plane, it's snowing.
Oh my goodness.
And so, you know, I don't have the biggest fear of flying. You know, I'm a faith-filled person.
Yes.
But then it's like snowing and we get delayed and we're like, there's no communication as to why we're being delayed. Then they come out, start spraying the plane. I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah. That's a little
But it's like
unnerving.
An anti-freeze thing. So you
okay,
don't go
gotcha.
Like, and it's like, are we going to, and then we take off and there's like some more turbulence than normal. And you know, I'm getting in my head. I'm like, I've probably been on 100 flights in my life. And I've, you know, I'm like, why is this weird? I've never really. So it was, we got through it.
Yeah.
We're home.
Well, you're here.
Yeah, I was with my family. I was like, Lord, if you take us, we're all together.
Man. Now, you took in some sights. You see the Garden
yes.
of the Gods.
Yes, we went to the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Red rocks.
Gorgeous
place. Girls were climbing up stuff, and it
okay.
was really cool.
Yeah.
It was fun. And we just did a lot of chilling, hanging out. Denver, downtown Denver, which is, you know, I think sometimes I feel like downtowns, but I think of Los Angeles. I've never been in New York,
but
like
place.
In terms of downtowns, Denver is still, the population's only 700 and something odd thousand.
Only.
So it's not, I mean, it's not, yeah. not it's not
it's huge.
Multi-millions.
No,
right,
it's not in the millions.
LA,
I mean, you think about, you know, yeah, LA,
well,
greater
I mean,
LA.
Just San Bernardino is 200. Riverside is 350.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got that in these two cities.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Glad to be home.
I remember being in the Garden of Gods, and it rained on us.
Mm.
We were hiking up there.
Yeah.
And I brought my guitar. So I had my guitar in hand, and I'm wearing, of all things, a white T-shirt. It starts raining, and, you know, the mud there is, like, red.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're at the top of one of those hills up next to the big red rocks. Mm-hmm. We're just singing some praise and worship music, and we go running down because we don't know how bad the rain was going to be, you know, because it can come in.
Yeah.
And so we're running down. We're covered in mud at the bottom. And I was with a missions tour. We went border to border, coast to coast, across the United States. We did performances in churches, things like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I'm with a group of people, and one of them is a French-Canadian girl who barely speaks any English. And she starts taking this red mud and like puts it on like war paint.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Like, you know,
yeah,
like doing all this kind of stuff. And so we're all doing that. And she's like, oh, and she can't get the words out. But I see from her sign language, like she wants to just take her hand on my white shirt and just get like a muddy handprint. I'm like, I'm all dirty anyways, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, bring it on. So she just, you know, gets this big dirty handprint.
Yeah.
I got pictures of us all like, you know, war painted out, covered in mud and rain and all that kind of stuff. But it was fun times, you know, good times there.
Colorado is beautiful. Colorado
great
Springs
place.
Is great. Actually, speaking of Colorado Springs, we got to see a new friend when John Bevere was here, his assistant that he travels with. Shout out to Tim.
Tim.
We got to have some coffee with him, and he was great. Good conversation. The last day we were going to leave, he met up with us and treated us to coffee.
Awesome.
He's also a coffee roaster himself.
Wow.
Which, you know,
you didn't
knows
get to drink
heart.
His coffee,
yeah, no,
did you?
Actually, so we went to this coffee shop, and I noticed we got there a little bit before him, and they had his beans that he roasts there.
Really?
So I think I might have got maybe his. They were probably using his beans, so it was good.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Tim's blend.
Yes. So anyways, he just got back the day before on a trip with John Bevere. And
oh, fantastic.
So that was great.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Well, yeah, Colorado Springs is a great place. Jorge and Denise are there as well.
Yeah.
You know, lots of friends out there and all that good stuff. And my daughter actually has a friend at college that her family's from Castle Rock.
Oh,
got them connected with Pastor Joe and Marnie. Yeah. And so a lot of history there. I tell a story, actually. I've told it several times to the church and preaching about witnessing to two guys that spoke Arabic.
Yeah.
And I just happened to have the Arabic Four Spiritual Laws packets in
my pocket. Yeah.
And asked them, hey, I don't know what this says. Can you read it to me? And that was my like ploy to get them to
you
know, start. And the one guy was like, oh, it's just some Christian literature. You should probably just throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're not a Christian, are you? And I was like, get him, you know? So, but I mean, that's one of those foundational times in my life, you know, McDonald's outside of the Garden of the Gods,
right,
where, you know, just witnessing to people and, and starting that journey of faith as a teenager, really, you know, actually I said 16, I think I was 18 at that time,
okay,
you know, something like that. So 18 or 19, somewhere in there. But it'd been after 4 years of of traveling missions, and that was part of my spiritual formation, you know. So and we've been talking about that these past couple podcasts, going there and you know, I mean, we see these altar calls, you know, we see people that come forward. The second service this last week, I know you were out, but man, it was a move of God.
And I did hear about it though. So that's
people
really
just
cool.
Just kept coming and coming and coming, and then somebody, you know, God bless them, just. I believe that when God starts moving, the devil gets mad. And so here they are. They start wailing. And I think the congregation initially thought they were getting delivered and free, you know. And so they start clapping like, yay, you know. And then it turned into this, like, a terrible scream. You know what I mean? Where it was like, oh, my gosh. And I knew in my spirit, like, that's not God right now. That's the enemy trying to distract from what God is doing in this moment.
Yeah.
And so I could see our safety team making their way over there. And so I told the congregation, hey, you know what? They're going to be taken care of. And I sent some of our leaders over there that work with, you know, people in the prayer ministry and deliverance, that sort of a thing. And so unfortunately, they left without getting any help. You know, they just left.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want for people. We want them to get free. We want them to get healed and delivered, restored and saved, and all that good stuff that comes with Jesus. But, you know, that aside, what was amazing to me was after, you know, that happened, more people kept coming, you know, and it just kept coming to the altars. And so, you know, we've been saying these past couple of weeks about how that spiritual formation, that discipleship process, and you know, as much as I rejoice and even believing God for 2,000 salvations at Easter, you know, and fasting and believing and praying and that sort of a thing, my heart of hearts is that it would go much beyond walking an aisle and praying a prayer. You know what I mean? And that's why it's so important what we're doing right now with the discipleship materials, because it's like, you know, here's these tens of thousands every year.
Right.
They get saved at the Rock.
Right.
Where are they now?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Where is this disconnect? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And I know you've seen this in the young adults ministry.
Right.
Here's someone
now,
they're on fire.
Yep.
Next thing you know, they're bouncing to the next greatest thing, and then they're over here. Then they're in sin, and they're not even going to church.
Yeah. Well, I think as pastors, one of the bigger discouragement is because we care for people.
Absolutely.
You know, I think some of the knock people have on church or even larger churches that we just care about numbers and growth and, oh, salvation counts and all. Like, no, our heart grieves when we see people because we get to know them. We talk to them. We do life with them. We're in communication with them, we're praying with them as they're going through trials, and we see them get free and grow. And along the way, when people leave or disconnect, it grieves our heart, you know, because these are people that we care for. So I think the conversation, Pastor Dan, as you bring it up, that I think will be productive for people is just holding the space of the conversation for saying, all right, so what is either a common denominator that we've seen? And, you know, how can we, you know, I know we've had conversations about avoiding backsliding and things like this, but But just even some of the things that are people that are watching or listening can pray for, or when they see some of their friends or people that they're in relationship with, or even ourselves, all of us have to do this.
Yeah.
Of not, you know, because you don't have to go very far on social media, depending on your algorithm, to see God doing amazing things on the earth, whether it's on college campuses, whether at this church, or whether in this country. God is doing some amazing things.
He sure is.
And we can get excited, and we want to go after those things. I know, as, again, as a young adult, so the context I have, a lot of people have moved and gone to go visit. You know, there was for a while, it was like going to visit Bethel was like the Mecca, right? Like, it's like, you know, you do your pilgrimage.
Make the pilgrimage
to,
and then you're
to Bethel because God is doing some amazing things there. And so sometimes you just want to be in the room. And we
preach
messages about getting in the room and getting in the space and borrowing that faith. But where I've kind of gotten is like, okay, what does that turn into?
Sure.
Right. What does that look like for all of us? And I think that's a good question for us to ask, is how do we take the feeling? How do we take the experience that we had and equate it into a life following Jesus?
You know, it's interesting that you make that statement, because I think, you know, anytime we see in the life of Jesus some great things happening, even discouraging things happening, when Jesus saw that they had no faith and that they you know, the Bible says an amazing statement that Jesus could do not many miracles in Nazareth.
Right.
They were too familiar. They downplayed his significance, that sort of a thing. And so it says he could do not many mighty works, except he laid his hands on a few sick and healed them, right? That, to me, boggles my mind, because he's God.
Yeah.
You know, and he can do whatever he wants to. But their faith literally limited what he was going to do in their lives. And so Jesus, from that point, the next verse you find that he goes about in a circuit in the villages teaching. Okay? Many times when you see Jesus going from synagogue to synagogue, mighty works are happening, great followers, great things happening. Then what does he do? He goes in a circuit teaching. There was always a strengthening period. Even the Apostle Paul, here he comes in and he plants churches, right? And miracles, signs and wonders happen. There's great followings, great big things happening, right? Great persecutions, all this stuff. There's all this Insta-worthy news going on. Like, Apostle Paul just raised someone from the dead. Yeah. He just healed somebody, right? And they're doing unusual miracles.
Yeah. Repost.
And people are flocking to it. You know, people are coming out. The whole city's showing up, all that kind of stuff. But then what does he do? Hey, let's go back and visit the churches and strengthen them. What is he doing? Right. He's going back around teaching, trying to get them to the place of spiritual maturity.
Yep.
You know, you find that in one place he had such a great revival, and it says that he stayed at the school of Tyrannus and he taught for years.
Yeah.
He wasn't going out and doing miracles and all that kind of, but teaching.
Yeah.
To get them firmly established. You know, there's a scripture that I memorized early on in 2 Peter. Peter knows he's lived a lot of life.
Yeah.
Even you can see his terminology changing. He's not just coming up as Apostle Peter, right?
Yeah.
You know, 1 Peter, he's Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
2 Peter, he's a servant,
an
apostle, right? After all this time,
let
me just define who I am. I'm a servant first. I'm an apostle second,
right?
And he's pastored. He's led. God's used him mightily to do miracles. And he says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I'm here. He goes, I know that pretty soon I'm going to cast this tent aside, this body that I'm living in. He says, but I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I'm here, even though you know these truths.
Right.
And even though you're firmly established, because I'm not going to be here all the time to tell you these things.
Yeah.
And he has such a heart for the people that he's constantly refreshing them on things. And I think that's where, if anywhere, what we're lamenting and, you know, talking about here is that people are immature, right? Not that going to Bethel is a mark of immaturity. No, it's great.
Yeah.
Whether it's Bethel or whether it's, you know, some of these great moves of God in other areas, you know, people went to see the Asheville revival.
Right.
You know, back in the day, it was let's go to Pensacola, you know, and let's go see the Brownsville, or let's go see whatever, you know. And not that any of those things are bad. I think it's great that people are excited. Even you know, when we see things like the Harvest Crusade, or we see Baptized California is going to have a concert and baptisms in the ocean. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like let's be a part. Let's include our faith.
Yeah.
But let's not chase big crowds.
Yeah.
the best music, mm-hmm. signs and wonders, yeah. right? If anything, signs and wonders should be chasing us because right. these signs will yeah. follow them that do what?
Yep.
Believe, right? Yep. And we've been talking about faith and believing mm-hmm. God. If we can get people to spiritual maturity, mm-hmm. what does that mean? That means we disciple them.
Yep.
And discipleship is more than a class, as
well,
we've been talking about.
I need to let those moments mark me in such a way that it builds my faith to go live. You know, I feel like we've so conditioned ourselves because you can take pictures of experiences.
Oh, for sure.
You don't take pictures of the journey of life, right? Like we took pictures by the rock. We didn't take pictures of the hike up and yeah. the kids screaming, yelling on the way up. Like that's not a cool picture. That's right. not the fun part, but that's the real life of this. And so yes. I think the missing piece that we're talking about, and that's beneficial for all of us, is the discipleship road is more than just the highlight reel. I heard someone say it so well, man. It's like, oh, like we want to live. There's a real life and then there's a real life. So a play on the words
play
of Instagram
words, yeah.
reels, right?
It,
like
yeah.
the R-E-E-L
the
versus
real
the R.
Life.
Like, so there's your, like, but yeah. you can't live your real R-E-A-L through reels.
No.
So, and again, I know I'm not bashing social media, but again, I think it conditions our minds to want to live out our faith in highlights.
Sure.
But that's just, that just doesn't happen because you don't take a picture of grief.
Well, on that token, I did see a post someone put out there, and again, this is not to bash anyone, mm-hmm. and sometimes the motivation is including people in your journey of prayer, mm-hmm. faith, you know, that sort of thing, which I think is great if,
yeah.
if you've got that. But they put a picture of, you know, some infirmity and that mm-hmm. sort of a thing, and you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, why would anybody want to put that out there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And you know, reading through it, it was more about their faith journey and that sort of a thing. But it's like not everything that we encounter is a post or
right.
should be shared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think there was a clear call to pray for us or, you know,
yeah.
help us or anything.
Yeah.
It was just like, here it is. And I get that they're trying to show more than just the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing the lowlights.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wonder about that because it's like, I don't know. I wrestle with these mm-hmm. things, and that's why I'm probably not on social media
yeah.
because I just, you know, in many ways don't believe in it. Like
yeah.
I think that those things, like if you're going through something like that, who is the person that you're going to pick up the phone and call?
Mm-hmm.
Not text.
Yeah.
Not send a picture.
Right.
Who's the one that if you needed help, like real help,
mm-hmm.
that would show up and knock on your door?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that people can identify that person.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, there's people I know I could call you and
right.
you'd show up,
right?
If I was like, hey, come to
yeah.
my house,
right? Yeah, yeah.
You would come to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are people that I know, Pastor Brian and
yeah.
others, you know, there's
yeah.
Plenty of people that I could call on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's special people that I know. If I need this, I'll call this person. If I need that, I'll call that person, right?
Yeah.
That's called relationship.
Right.
And I think that's where maybe there is a big disconnect in this sense because, you know, when man had an issue of sin,
mm-hmm.
God did not send a process. He
yeah.
didn't send a picture. He sent a person.
Yep. Yeah.
The person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the person gave us the principles
mm-hmm.
for life, right?
Yeah.
It was through relationship. He lived with 12 guys.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
He lived among us. I love how 1 John says that's which we have seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's which we beheld, that which we've handled
mm-hmm.
with our hands.
Yeah.
That statement right there is the killer of all I mean, like, we handled him. We touched him. Thomas put his hand in his side and you know,
yeah.
John leaned up against his chest
mm-hmm.
and felt his breath.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter felt his grip as he
right.
pulled him up out of the water after
yeah.
he started to sink, after walking on water. Peter felt his hand grab a hold of him and pull him out.
Yeah.
These guys touched
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Jesus touched them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what made the difference in their life.
Right.
That they had been with Jesus, not just hearing his teaching, not
yeah.
just being under his ministry, not just as a rabbi, as a person.
Yes.
As a friend that walked and lived among them. And I think that's where the missing element of even our discipleship and
mm-hmm.
maturity and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Who can get around you? Who can you touch?
Right.
You
well,
know?
Getting towards, you know, your conversation last week with Pastor Paulo, I loved it. You guys were talking about really without even knowing it. Well, I'm sure you guys knew it, but you were talking about your discipleship journey and how you'd been discipled. And, you know, because, you know, people, people want to be discipled. People want to be led. I get asked all the time about, hey, I'm there's this missing piece. Well, what the missing piece is relationship.
Absolutely.
That missing piece is doing life with someone. And oftentimes, you know, people look to either social media personalities or people on the stage, which, you know, as pastors, that's what we're here to serve people. But also, you have to get in relationship with people.
Yes.
You can't, in other words, you can't just come to church, sneak in, sneak out, and then be done with it, because you're not going to have genuine relationship.
Right.
So to answer some of the question, the thought that we had on the top of the episode of, well, what's happening? Where's all these altar calls? You know, where we see these, you know, these movements and we see these things packed, but it doesn't translate always either to church attendance or to engagement, or worse for them, continued walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if you rely on this sensationalism part or the feeling, I love Holy Spirit goosebumps. I love them. It's great. It's great to get in with a great worship set. And, you know, you've talked about how you feel it on your spine. Sometimes you feel it on your back. Like when there's like this, you know, the anointing. Awesome. All that. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. But that's not going to sustain you in a long, because that's not even the model. God didn't design it to sustain you.
When I don't have the feeling.
Right.
And the devil's attacking me.
Yes.
And my flesh is weak.
Yes.
It's not the Holy Ghost goosebumps that sustain me. It's the teaching of the Word of God and the maturity of those who have gone before me that I've seen press through those times that keeps me going.
Right.
Right? Pastor Jim used to say it like this, you got to be tougher than your toughest day.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, he told some crazy stories. If you've ever read the book Fellowship, he tells some crazy stories.
Yeah.
You know, that they went through, him and Pastor Deborah.
Yeah.
And it was because they were taught, because they were strong, because they were mature, that they were able to endure those things, you know? A lot of people don't know this. Some of the people that those stories are about, at the end of Pastor Jim's life, reconciled, and they were friends.
Right.
Hung out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and he would see people in the store or at different times in different areas of life, and they were able to reconnect and you know, just move forward in love. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen because you feel it.
Right.
Right? Because there still was feelings like, man, these people betrayed us or they hurt us, and now we're going to be friends? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, like they're believers, and they've repented, and they've moved forward, and now their lives are open. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's not going to be one of those moments in worship.
Right.
Right?
Well, for the introvert that feels like, well, I, you know, I don't thrive on... And it's not saying you have to go with 10, 20 people and have a big social outing, but you have to be able to call somebody. You have to be able to have someone call you and reach out to you, someone you can be honest with.
So for the person that doesn't know how to do this, right? Because it's one thing for us to sit here and say, find someone, right?
Yes.
Find a mature believer that's ahead of you and start to model your life after their ways,
right? For us, we can go next door, the cube next door, right? We work in a church.
We work in a church. And the easy path is always they're looking to spiritual leaders. Like you said, you have people asking you.
Yeah.
I have people asking me, can you mentor me? Yeah. Can you disciple me? I would love to.
Right.
I just know with the demands on my life, where I'm at, the people that I strategically am pouring into.
Yeah.
Who I need to do that with, and then I've got some people on my radar that I'm going, man, I need to spend some time with them,
right?
Because if I'm going to develop young ministers and keep this church moving forward in the next generation, there's people that I've given access to me, right? So I don't let everyone access me just simply because I've got tens of thousands of people in my life.
Right.
So most likely, if I don't know someone and they're coming to me saying, will you disciple me, will you mentor me? The answer is going to be no.
All right.
However, so for somebody that looks at that and gets discouraged, well, I asked the church for discipleship and they told me no.
Right.
And so I can't do what you're saying for me to do. Mm-hmm. You know, my thought is, and this is your arena, is that, you know, start where there are available things.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a process. It may take time to identify that person or people, but I would start by attending a small group. And just getting into it, and there's some great groups that you can find spiritually mature people that is not necessarily a Bible study.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think about the Run Walk group.
Yeah.
You know, the leader, Giselle, is a mature believer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it, just walking, you might get discipled by her. You know what I mean? It's just like, it doesn't have to happen on, okay, let's sit down and talk about this spiritual principle.
Yes.
It happens like, hey, we're walking, and how can I pray for you? Well, I'm struggling with this. Well, you know what? I went through that.
Yeah.
Right? It happens in relationship.
Well, and you guys touched it, Pastor Dan. You, Look, discipleship isn't always opening the Bible and praying in confession. No. Oh, those are aspects of discipleship.
Great. Yeah, great. And we need
to
learn those.
But I think the highlight is that there's the engagement. That because it starts with opening, just like any relationship or friendship starts, there's the broaching the subject.
Yeah.
No one would expect that. And nor you nor the person that you're talking to wants you to confess to them within 2 minutes of meeting them.
Right.
Like, you probably don't have very many friends that, you know, there are some social anxieties people have,
of course,
but there's grace for them in that. So you're going to talk to someone, you're casually walking with someone, and then it takes, today I didn't get to confess to them. Well, okay, but you know their name, and you talked about their interests, and then next, and you got their number, and the next time you meet with them, you're developing relationship.
That's it. Yeah.
And so how do we go when we're trying to develop this process that is not, you know, it's easy to say, you know, because in our world as pastors and church world, discipleship seems to be all the rage. It's a big buzzword, but it's not, it's been the word for 2000 years.
It was the way of the masters, the plan of God, right? That, yes. That Jesus came and modeled it
right.
for us.
It's not a new concept.
The neat thing is you even see it into the church fathers that, you know, there are people that were in direct relationship mm-hmm. with the Apostle John. Mm-hmm. And then you can literally trace who these leaders poured into.
Right.
And then as they were martyred or as they left the earth, you know, who the next person that they discipled, mm-hmm. they trained this person. There's literally, I don't remember it specifically, but I know it was the Apostle John had a chain of people behind him that you could trace down and literally see who poured into who.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing when you think about that. Now, there was intentionality. There was focus with that. And so for the mature that are listening to this today, I would encourage you to get yourself into those avenues of who can I pour into, you know, and just ask the Holy Spirit and then let him just point them out to you and identify those mm-hmm. things. And like you said, as we're doing this, mm-hmm. you know, as we're going on the outreach.
Yep.
Hey, this person is sharing, and I noticed, man, they're not as bold.
Yeah.
You know, let me just pour into them what was poured into me to help me be bold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Things like that. Or you're a hard worker and you see somebody's you're sitting by while letting everybody else work. Okay, come help me with this. You know, that's discipleship. Like, hey, I do this because I'm working hard for the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, not just when someone's watching, just when asked. But the Bible says to serve as serving Christ, right? That's discipleship. Yeah, and you shared a verse.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, you know? And then for the immature that are looking for that, again, I think just getting in position, you know, finding those groups, whether it's a serve team, you know, discipleship can happen in the children's ministry while, you know, watching the two-year-old class. Mm-hmm. It can happen in the youth ministry, you know, while you're making sure checking people in and you're there at the table next to somebody or a teenager comes in and just starts yapping, you know. Mm-hmm. Those things can happen in those environments. But if you're one of the ones looking for that, get yourself into those groups. Get yourself into a small group. It may be a Bible study.
Yeah.
And as you're sitting there around, you know, the bunker group or the women's fight club prayer group or whatever, you notice, man, this person, they really have something on them that I want.
Yes.
And then you ask them, hey, do you have any time or space in your life to just talk to me or meet with me or, you know, disciple me? And I know some of these people in our church, especially, gosh, man, you'll get... Yeah. I don't want to say overwhelmed because that's an intimidating word. Like you're talking about introverts, you know. I don't want to be overwhelmed. But no, I mean, they will embrace you, you know, in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And you'll be so glad. And you know, I believe that there are things that are lying dormant in people that can be called out, you know, that if you are drawn to somebody because they're an intercessor and a prayer warrior, there might be a prayer gift on the inside of you that God is calling out, you know, or if you see someone teaching in the youth, you know, I think about some of these guys that are teaching in the youth that are just phenomenal, you know, and that are taking time at their house, train up our kids.
Yeah, they go,
you know, Armando, you know,
absolutely.
Love the guy, man. Yeah. He's discipling youth. Like,
absolutely.
And they might say, man, I love the way Armando teaches in the youth, you know, and you're in the back and you're going, hey, Mondo, can I just hang? No. He would.
Well, I feel like those are the stories you've shared.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember as a teenager going to this guy's house. Or going, and I feel like those are the stories that our teens are going to share. Like, hey, there was this man and it encouraged
me. Here's the crazy thing about bringing that up.
Yeah.
Just last week, I got a text from one of those guys.
Wow.
Still in relation. And if I called him, he'd be there.
Yeah.
And right. and we've called each other for prayer stuff and needs and different things like that and hangouts. I mean, I was when he texted me, I was sharing some things out of my heart, and he said, "Hey, if you want this, I'll be there." And I said, "You know what? I'm good, but thank you for the offer." And he's like, "Good. I'm glad you declined because I would have had to move some stuff to do that." but I mean, the fact that he was willing to drop everything. Yeah. So I mean, that's the type of thing: mm-hmm. lifelong, mm-hmm. relational,
yeah.
discipleship. Love, encouragement,
yeah,
all those things, you know.
Well, I pray that's been an encouragement to people, Pastor Dan, because again, there are those who maybe got saved at an experience and find themselves kind of drowning a little bit because they're trying to attach themselves to it, like what got me saved in the first place.
Sure.
And maybe the answer is what we talked about today, that relationship. And so sometimes you have to take the first step. It's always nice to think that I'm going to sit at church up, and someone's God sent someone to me. But in the meantime, we have to go out. You know, it's in the same way that you have to go and follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Go in and reach out to somebody. It could be as simple as, you know, you sit down the row. It's the same. You sit in the same section at church all the time anyways. Come on now. You see the same faces. You pass the bucket along. Yeah. You're interacting with someone. You lock eyes. And maybe it's hello this week. Hey, maybe that's the challenge. Yeah. Say hello to someone.
Say
this
hi
week.
To someone this week.
And then the next week, it's hey, how's it going?
Get their name.
Yeah, this is long game.
Right? Yeah,
discipleship is long game. Relationships are investments. And so, yeah, that's awesome.
And for the extroverts, go overwhelm someone. Yeah, yeah, come on. Let's do it.
You go do it. You go make them comfortable. Well, that's great. Any closing thoughts, Pastor Dan?
You know, I just would encourage anybody who is, again, I think, you know, to just double down on what I was saying. Mm-hmm. If you're mature, mm-hmm. find someone that you can pour into. If you are on that growth process and you want to be raised up, find a group. Mm-hmm. Find out from the church offices what's going on. We got the small group finder online.
Love it.
Get into a group. Or get into a serve team, mm-hmm. and identify the person or people that you want to be around. That you said, I'd love to model that, you know. And then I love what Gerald Brooks said. He did say that there were people that he could get into his life, and then there were others that he knew couldn't have access to. Mm-hmm. That he let them raise him up from afar.
That's good.
You know what I mean? And so if it is me or you or somebody that says, hey, you know what, my life is so full, mm-hmm. and my plate is so full, or I'm pouring into these people and I have to stick with what mm-hmm. my God assignment is.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged by that. Study them from afar, right? Yeah. Listen to their stories. Model their way of life. You know, the Apostle Paul said that. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
And so know that it's not because we don't love you or because, you know, we don't think that you're valuable. It's just we understand our God assignment at this moment. And so study those people from afar, but find people who can be close, that you can contact and that sort of a thing. And start this process, you know? Mm-hmm. Get into that relationship. That's what makes all the difference. That's the missing link.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, we love you guys again. Like, share, subscribe, comment. And Pastor Dan, our 1-year anniversary.
Wow.
I dropped the ball on leaving that date. So, but the 1-year anniversary is April 12th.
Coming up.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday, 1 year of the Rock Life Podcast.
So, we love you guys, and we have a birthday. 1-year birthday. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.